time now for Bible Talk. Join Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw as they open the Bible to deepen our understanding of God's Word.
Hi, and welcome to Bible Talk, where we talk about the Bible and how the Bible affects us today. I'm John Bradshaw.
And I'm Gary Gibbs.
And I was talking one time to a fellow who told me about his experience with baptism. He said he was in church, hadn't been in years and years and years. Went to one of these great big churches and was really having a good time and enjoyed what he was experiencing. When the preacher asked how many people would like to give their hearts to Jesus Christ, raise your hand. Well, he raised his hand, him and I'm sure several others. And then the preacher said, well, stand to your feet. And so gladly he stood up on his feet. And then the pastor said, well, come down here to the front. So, guess it's part of what you do around here. He came down there to the front. The pastor said, now you're here, we're going to baptize you. We're going to baptize you tonight. He didn't really know whether he should or whether he shouldn't, but he was in a church, and this is the way they do things around here, so he was baptized. And he said to me, you think that was right? Do you think that was the right thing for me to do? Well, we looked at what the Bible said, because the Bible speaks pretty clearly, not only that about baptism being important, but it also speaks about when a person should be baptized and the preparation a person would go through in order for baptism.
And if you don't understand the preparation, then you're going to baptize people when they're not prepared. Little infants who don't understand the gospel, people who don't understand the decision they're making. And this really brings disrepute upon the church when people are hoodwinked into baptism. That story you told bothers me, because it makes people skeptical. They go to church and they say, okay, what's this pastor up to? Why does he want me to raise my hand? What's he going to try to do to me? We shouldn't do that in our churches.
Shouldn't. Absolutely should not. And furthermore, one of the things that is so terribly wrong with that is it cheapens the symbolism, the meaning of baptism. You know, anyone can get wet. Anyone can leap into a swimming pool. Anyone can be immersed in water. But that is not the same as saying a person can be baptized. Because according to Bible, this whole business of baptism is equated with an experience with Jesus Christ where we die to sin and we are raised to walk in newness of life. Baptism's about an experience with Jesus, not just an appointment with a body of water.
That's why we've titled our resource that we're going to make available to you today. If you phone in or email us or write us, it's called Purity and Power, how to have that experience of feeling like you're pure and clean, how to experience the power of God. It's all related to baptism, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Baptism is part and parcel of that. Another fellow, a friend of a friend I was speaking to one time, we were talking about baptism, and somehow it came up about a certain person who was baptized in his church. And he talked about that person's lifestyle. And I said, you mean to say that your church would baptize a person who had that particular lifestyle going on? And I'm not going to mention what was going on, and don't think you know, because you don't. And he was shocked that I would even call into question that there's a right time and a wrong time to baptize a person. What do you mean? If a person wants to be baptized, it's not up to you to sit in judgment. It's not for you to decide. You just baptize them. And I thought to myself, well, that's not what the Bible says. Let's look at what the Bible says about the when of baptism.
Well, first off, you have to be repentant of your sins. You go to Acts chapter 2, and Peter's preaching to thousands on that day. He says, repent. Repent means you're sorry for your sin. There's a conviction of sin. And if a person's unrepentant, then they shouldn't be baptized. I mean, you look at John the Baptist, when people were thinking it was popular to come be baptized, and they came to him, everybody was flocking out to him to be baptized. Boy, he called them down. He said, listen, you know, you vipers, you snakes. You know, he saw they were just being baptized because it's a popular thing to do. They weren't repentant. And he started pointing out their sins so that they would sense a conviction of sin.
He said very clearly, you need to bring forth the fruits that are worthy of repentance.
So you need to demonstrate that you've been repentant. And repentance means you're going to change. You're going to get out of whatever it was that you were doing before.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Repentance. People say, oh, I'm sorry. Is that repentance? Well, maybe it is. But in that word repentance, there's a change of heart involved, isn't there? Not just, oh, I'm sorry that I committed that sin, but I purpose, Jesus, to allow you to change my heart and strengthen me and possess me, if you like, so that I don't go running back into that foolishness like a pig wallowing in the mud.
Now, there's a real sorrow for sin. You see what it has done to Jesus, what it's done to you, and you don't want it. You just have a disdain for it, and you want release from that. Mm,
repentance. I like you mentioned sorrow for sin. Doesn't it say in the Bible that godly sorrow works repentance?
Yes.
Sorrow for sin. According to the Bible, before baptism, there needs to be real, genuine repentance. Not merely being sorry, but turning away and through the power of Jesus from sin and all that it entails.
Let's talk about this in terms of steps in preparation for baptism. The first one we've just discussed, it's repentance. Before you're baptized, you have to repent of your sins. That's what Peter was referring to in Acts 2, 38-41. He said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." But even before you repent, you have to learn the teachings of the Bible. You have to learn what is sin. Why are you a sinner? What has God done to save you from your sin?
Generally speaking, that is sadly lacking in the Christian church today. One of the reasons many marriages fail, because people getting into marriage don't have a clue how to make that thing work. They don't know what's involved. One of the reasons that many relationships with God fail is that many people who get into it haven't got a clue what it's all about, and they haven't learned how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and make that thing work. Before baptism, there are some things to learn. Now, how far are you going to push this, Gary? Doctorate degree in divinity, or how would you say to the person thinking, well, maybe I need to learn, or did I learn, or what is there to learn?
Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 28:19-20, he says, "Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." There are key teachings in the Bible that affect how we live our life. And those teachings have to be learned before you make a commitment like baptism, because you're making a commitment that you're going to live for Christ. Well, what does that look like? It's not just, as some churches teach, well, I believe in Jesus. When I was 8 years old, in the church I grew up in, a teacher came to me and said, "Do you want to be baptized?" Yeah, I guess so. You know, I saw baptisms go along all the time. They said, "Well, all you have to do is believe in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus?" "Oh, yes, I believe in Jesus." Well, I was baptized. Certainly, that is the core truth. But what does that look like to believe in Jesus? What does that mean to believe in Jesus? We have to flesh that out in order for a person to understand what it means to die to sin and to live for Christ. And then when you have that understanding, then you have to take the second step. You have to believe and accept Bible truth.
We find that instance of people learning, being taught, pretty well with all of the examples of baptism we see in the Bible. There at Pentecost, Peter was preaching to them. He was catechizing them. He was instructing them. He was giving them the doctrine that they needed. In Acts chapter 8, isn't it chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch?
Chapter 9, I think, isn't it?
Okay. Well, there in the book of Acts, you've got...
It is 8:36.
Okay, Acts 8. Philip instructs the man who is the official of the Ethiopian Queen Candace. He opens up the Bible and reads to them. He's sitting there reading. He says, "Man, I don't really understand this." So he studies with him. He studies the Bible with him and teaches him. Then he's baptized. In Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer and his family. The Bible says they spoke to him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And then he was baptized. So there is the biblical imperative is that before baptism, there ought to be some instruction and some teaching so folks know what's going on.
And it's always done that way. So we don't just stand up, call people to repentance, and immediately baptize them, because you can be baptizing people that have a complicated web of sin that they have to extricate themselves from.
Yeah.
And here you're going to baptize them, they're going to go right back to maybe a life of addiction or some other thing, and now they're going to feel like, oh, what happened to me? I thought I was baptized. I shouldn't be attracted to these things. And they're going to feel like they're twice the sinner now, twice the child of hell, and they're going to give up ever dreaming of living a victorious life in Christ.
You see, there'd be someone listening and saying, you mean if someone's in addiction, they shouldn't be baptized? Well, the answer is, well, really, no, they should not, because that person is in slavery to sin and is not free in Jesus. Baptism represents that freedom that comes from accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the full surrender that is made to Him when you lay down your life and accept the life of Jesus.
That's why in Romans 6, we read, "Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And as you read Romans 6, it talks about, John, our old man of sin is crucified with him. And verse 6 says, we are no longer to be slaves of sin. I've visited with people who had an addiction, and I want to mention one particular common addiction that people have, and that is an addiction to tobacco. They smoke. And this person loves God, wants to follow God, wants to be baptized. And I have had a practice of, I won't baptize a person if they're addicted to something like tobacco. We know tobacco is deadly. We know it's costly. And it stinks.
That's true on three counts. The Bible said that if you destroy the body temple, well, God will destroy you. So he's not going to sanction and countenance that kind of practice. Let's make that clear.
Right. And I don't try to come across legalistic on this. What I do is try to share with the person, well, is this an addiction? Would you like victory over it? And most of the time they'll say, yes, it's an addiction. I would love victory over it. Well, baptism is a time of victory. It's the time where you put to death the old man of sin and you're no longer a slave of sin. Here you have a known sin in your life that you're enslaved to. Wouldn't you like victory over this before you're baptized? And every converted person will say, yes, I want that.
That's absolutely right. I found that in my experience too. So what we're going to do here is we've seen that we've looked at these two steps, repentance and being taught. But you said there's a third step before a person's baptized. Maybe it's the most obvious.
And I mentioned that we have to believe. We have to believe in the teachings of the Word of God that we've been taught. So you have to believe that enough to step out and repent and be baptized.
What an exciting thing baptism is, that God gives us, you know, he marks it with a special ceremony. You ever stop to think about it like that? He could have just said, baptism, or you know, you accept, and it's just something that's done in the privacy of your own experience. But here's a public service, a little bit like a wedding or a graduation ceremony or something. And it's exciting when you can mark this decision with the Lord Jesus Christ, make a public declaration, publicly pledging your life to Jesus Christ, not making him a promise that your behavior is going to be perfect. You can't make that promise. But you pledge to give him your heart and you invite him to fill you with his presence and plead with him to keep that hold on your life.
And it's not something you want to put off indefinitely. When you learn of Jesus, that's the time that he's calling you to repent and be baptized.
Friend, why wait? If you've not been baptized, perhaps now is the time to make some plans and give this some serious thought. Baptism by immersion, the death of the old life, its burial, and then resurrection to that wonderful new life in Jesus Christ. We are so thankful that you've taken the time to join us today. We look forward to sharing more with you next time. Do join us then here on Bible Talk. If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for Purity and Power. The toll-free number is 866-BIBLE-SAYS. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California, 95678. That's P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California, 95678. Or email us at BibleTalk@LifeTalk.net. BibleTalk@LifeTalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.